Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, in verse 12 and in verse 14. I'll read verse 12 to 14. Then they, talking about they here, the story is about the disciples of Jesus who followed Jesus to the mountain where Jesus was taken away from the earth from. They followed him there, and the Bible makes us understand that after Jesus was lifted up from before their face, from before them, the Bible says that while they were looking up, an angel appeared unto them and said, "Why look up?" He said, "This same Jesus that was taken from before you shall also return in like manner." And while they were there and they heard these words, the Bible says in verse 12 that then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. This all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 6. The Bible says they returned, and all of them went up into an upper room, and there they spent time to pray and continued in prayer. And the Bible says when they continued praying, in verse 2, chapter 2, we're going to see what the outcome of that prayer was. Please do not forget that the kind of prayer that they had in the upper room was well qualified. The Bible says that this all with one accord. Somebody say one accord. Yeah, so this all together with one accord gathered together and were praying in the upper room. Chapter 2 in verse 1 to verse 6. Chapter 2 in verse 1 to verse 6. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man had them speak in his own language. Father, we pray for the blessing on your word this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Want to pray that you will inspire the words that will be coming forth from my lips this morning. And I pray that you will wing them by the power of your Spirit and cause them to make the desired impact to the praise and glory of your holy name. And everyone said amen. Can I have a good amen? God bless you. This is the beginning of a new month, and by the grace of God, 5 is a number of grace, as we all know. And so there is going to be the release of grace in this month for several accomplishments. I don't know what you want to do. I don't know what you want to accomplish in this new month. It is my sincere prayer that God will release grace upon your life to be able to accomplish the things that you desire to accomplish in the year 2012, and particularly in the month of May. I'm going to be speaking on a very interesting subject throughout this month, and I really want you to stay through. I began talking about it yesterday at the Morning Glory. If you missed out on the Morning Glory yesterday, I please encourage that you get the CD of yesterday's teaching so that you can flow along with us. I started talking yesterday about the revival that we need today. And with specific emphasis, I talked about the fact that we need the revival of God's presence. Is that okay? One of the things that we need restored in our days is the presence of God. And I'm not just talking about the presence of God in a corporate dimension, which is in the church as we come to worship. I noticed that while I was leading the worship and the choir was leading you in worship, I noted a lot of you will lift your hands up and you are lost in the presence of God. We call that corporate worship. Is that okay? If the truth were to be told, what will see you through the times and the battles of life that we'll face will not be corporate worship. It will be individual worship. The presence of God that you encounter on a personal level is what will see you through the battles and the changing times of our lives. Amen to Jesus. And so please, I want you to please follow on. Get that CD, listen to it, and I trust that it will indeed richly bless you. Today, I want to go to the second kind of revival that we need today. We are talking about the different kind of revivals that we need today. Yesterday, I spoke on the revival of God's presence. Today, I want to speak on the revival of prayer. The revival of prayer. Somebody said, Pastor Sam Oye, why should you be talking about prayer in a country like Nigeria that is known for prayer? As you follow me today, you will get to see the kind of prayer that we have in Nigeria and the kind of prayer that God wants the church to begin to pray. Hasn't it bothered you that we pray a lot in this country, but we are having the most corrupt people, the most corrupt set of human beings still living in this country? Now, please, before we go too far, let me also qualify that some of the most corrupt people are the ones who pray the most. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So if we pray every first Friday of every month in different parts of this country, you have people gathering in thousands. Am I talking to somebody here? To come and to pray. Are you getting what I'm saying here? If the 12 apostles or few apostles gathered together in an upper room could pray in such a way that after praying, the Bible said the prison was shaken. And the Bible makes us understand that the angel of the Lord came, opened the four gates and released Peter. How is it that today we are having thousands praying and we are not seeing results? There is something wrong about the prayer that we are praying today and the kind of prayer that the apostles pray in the days gone by. And we're going to see all of that today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me quickly announce, please, and I want you to get ready, because there is coming upon this country an unusual outpouring of the Spirit of God. There is coming, and whether you like it, you know why? The more you see darkness in a nation, it is a pointer to the fact that light is about to break through. Am I talking to anyone here? The more you see the spirit of corruption in this country, the more I want you to realize that there is coming the spirit of righteousness over this country. So there is coming a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God like we have never seen before. We need in this country, in this time, in this age that we'll find ourselves in, we need the revival and the restoration of the New Testament kind of prayer, Bible-centered prayer. We need a restoration, a revival of New Testament Bible-centered kind of prayer that delivers result, that produces result, that is effectual in its working, and that availeth so very much. The Bible says Elijah was a man that is having our own kind of passion. And the Bible says one man called Elijah opened his mouth and prayed over a nation. In order for that nation to come to God, Elijah, one man, opened his mouth and prayed and said, let there be no rain. And there was no rain. The Bible says he was a man that is after our own kind of passion. What was it about the prayer of Elijah that made a nation to come and bow their knees before God? What is it about his own kind of prayer that we are not praying today? I've searched the Lord through the word of God, and I've allowed the Spirit of God to minister to my heart, and I want to share with you part of my contemplation in the place of prayer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we need New Testament, Bible-centered kind of prayer. Much of the prayer meetings that we have today in our country, if the truth were to be told, you will discover that most of our prayer meetings are need-centered prayer meetings. Am I talking to somebody here? They are prayer meetings where we go to pray for somebody's financial breakthrough. Are you getting what I'm saying? So much so now that we have prayer contractors. I don't know if you are aware. Are you aware now that we have prayer contractors? People that are admin. They are on contract to come and pray until something happens in your own life. So you just go lie down, sleep. You'll be drinking tea, and the man of God will spend all night praying. So long as at the end of the prayer in the morning, there's going to be a brown envelope with 25,000 or 50,000 naira, enclosed in it. You understand that? We are a need-centered prayer nation. We pray a lot because of needs. Now, that sounds understandable because of the poverty that is prevailing in our nation. It seems now we must use God as a means to achieving our ends. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? So if the prayer meeting, for instance, you check this. If I say this coming Wednesday, we shall be having an anointing service for financial breakthrough. I guarantee you under God, we will have a lot of you here turn around. But let me say, ladies and gentlemen, this Wednesday, we shall be coming together to pray for this nation. We shall be coming together to pray for our friends who are not born again. I guarantee you under God that we'll have less than 10% of this audience. You know why? So long as it has nothing to do with me, it doesn't have anything to do with my breakthrough, it doesn't bother me. Am I talking to somebody here? So the point is that we have become a need-centered, a self-centered, a tradition-influenced praying nation. Now, I was saying to somebody here, I said, the Bible said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for they shall prosper that love her. Let me break it down to you. Now, Jerusalem is your country. Is that okay? Pray for the peace of your country. Then the Bible said, that prosperity you'll be looking for. If you pray for the peace of your country, the Bible said, you will do what, sir? You will prosper. So one of the keys to prosperity that the church has not taught you is about praying for your nation. To the glory of God, I think they should be on their way to Abuja. Some of you didn't know that last week was a turbulent week for some of us. Very turbulent week. We were almost forced to tell you yesterday at the prayer meeting, but we just kept it cool. In this same country of ours, one of our women in this church traveled to the east to go and attend to our project. She was here in church about 2 Sundays ago. And then decided to travel to the east to go and attend to her project. And then when she got home, went to collect money from the bank and was coming home to the where she was in the east. And some guys trailed after her on Okada, stopped her, collected the money. How did they know when she was going to collect the money? How did she know? How did they know she was coming back? Stopped her, collected the money from her. Few minutes after they collected the money from her, 10 hefty young men came out from a Camry and right there kidnapped her. And the information got to me on Monday last week when she was kidnapped at about 10, 12 in the night, and I had to immediately alert some of our people so that we can begin to pray all over the place. As I began to pray on Monday through into Tuesday morning, God said to me, he said, son, be guaranteed she will come out alive. Number two, be guaranteed that I will show her mercy. And I told everybody that I began to send prayer requests to, my leaders are here. I kept on telling everybody. I called her husband. I said, be calm. God said to me, he will show her mercy. God said to me, he will bring her out. They immediately began to ask for a ransom of $100 million. We kept on praying. Later, they came down to $50 million. I'm talking about how human beings are negotiating with human beings.
from 100 to 50 million as if you are bargaining for cassava. Then from 50 million on Friday towards the close of day, they said, well, it has to be 10 million. Eventually, on Saturday, on Friday night, they said somebody should come and meet them somewhere in Owerri and should bring the money that they had. So 5.3 million naira was handed over to them. And yesterday night, because we already have infoed all the necessary security apparatus and they were all getting ready to swing into action, I just needed to get a number to pass it on to them so that they will get down to these guys and locate them wherever they are. If prayer will not help solve the problem, you will respect the barrels of the gun. Is that okay? So there are two ways to cast out a devil. Either the devil goes out or the person who carries the devil together, you take care of them. Amen. We've already all been for all the necessary people and all of that. They were just waiting on standby. And as God will have it, yesterday at 9 o'clock, about 10 sorry in the night, I got a phone call and she was screaming, Papa, Papa, thank God, Papa, I am out, I am out, I am out. The devil is a liar. Let's celebrate the Lord. Amen. You know, I said something to one of our pastors. I said, you know why I'm taking this seriously to pray about? I said, I understand in Acts of the Apostles, the Bible says, when they captured James and the church did nothing about it, the Bible said they stretched forth their hands and they captured the head of the church. I said, so I'm not going to sit here and watch a member of this church being captured. If we pray after 1 week you are not released, we will send those who can release you. Amen. But I'm just trying to let you know what kind of situation we find ourselves in this country, and to let you know that prayer works. They said they were a brutal set of guys, that any little thing they could wipe her off, kill her and all of that. Said she will come out alive. As we look at the apostolic church, we can see that prayer was the womb that carried the church. The Holy Ghost was the midwife that birthed the church. And the Word of God was the food that grew the church. Prayer was the womb that carried the church. Because the Bible makes us understand that the birth of the church began with prayer. The birth of the church began with prayers. Maybe that's where we got our song from. Prayer is the key, prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Prayer is the master key. You know that song? For Jesus to begin his ministry, the Bible says he went up to the mountain and spent 40 days in prayer. The bigger the size of your dream, the more demand, the more you need to place a demand in the place of prayer. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody yet. For the church to be birthed, for the church to begin in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says the apostles went up to an upper room and spent days in prayer until the church was born. For Jesus and his ministry to begin, Jesus went to the mountain and spent 40 days in the place of prayer. For Paul to begin his ministry, the Bible said Paul went to a place in Damascus and spent 3 days in prayer without food. Why is it that you begin a thing without prayers? The bigger it is, the more time you should spend in prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Moses, in order to lead a nation like Israel, had to disappear from the midst of the people and spend 40 days twice in the presence of God. The bigger the size of your dream, the more time you should spend in the place of prayer. I will keep saying that here until it sinks on the inside of you. I see a lot of us here who talk about the size. Pastor Sam, if I tell you the size of my dream, the vision that God has given to me, somebody says something to me, sir. He said, Pastor Sam, the bigger the size of your dream, the bigger the size of your prophecy, he said, the more intensified your prayer life should be. I learned some few things from the apostles. It is this: no prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. More prayer, more power. I learned that from the apostles. Whenever the apostles begin to feel that there's a depletion in the power of God in their lives, they will withdraw to a place and together they will spend time to do what, sir? To pray. We need the revival of the New Testament kind of prayers. As you look at the story of the apostles from the text that we have read, you discover that the Pentecost that they experienced in chapter 2, they could not experience Pentecost in chapter 2 until they had experienced prayer first in chapter 1. I'll say that again. I see a lot of us who are expecting Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Many of us are expecting, many of us are believing God is going to use me. God is going to anoint me. God is going to use me to do this, to do that. God is going to bring this to pass. That's chapter 2. That's your Pentecost. That's the result. The apostles could not enter into their result until they've entered into the place of prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying here, sir? So it was prayer first that battered Pentecost. They spent days in the place of prayer. I don't know why these days I've been so challenged, man of God, to talk to campus students. I don't know why I've been so challenged to talk to campus students. Because, Pastor, some of the generation of young men that we have today, when they see you preaching on the stage, they copy what you do, but they don't know what you have done. I was sharing with you last week, I think it was last week, about my experience on campus. 4 a.m., Pastor, I will rise up and go to the field on campus, my year one. I will rise up and go to the field, and I will kneel down there. Man of God, I mean on the beer stand. Kneel down there, pray. Zeke Hall, University of Ibadan. I will kneel down there, and I will spend time in prayer. God will begin to tell me things that shall come to pass. Year one. And then you find a year one guy today, pinging. Pinging. That's what I can do. 1 hour pinging. And then next, if you see him pinging about, I say, what's up? Are you there? You there? Okay, now fine now. Okay, I'm pinging you back. And then you will now, what is he avatar? Those things that normally cry, those little. Smiley. They will put, smile what? They will put the one that is crying. They will put the one that is laughing. You spend your time. Do you? Please let me touch your neighbor and say to the person, you need to get back to the place of prayer. You are not saying it like, now listen, it's a serious matter. I didn't come here to play. Help me look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, your destiny is at stake if you don't pray. Got to pray. It's time to pray. I said to somebody, I said, the Son of God has to pray. The Son of the living God, who is God himself. If he has to pray, then your case is at stake if you don't pray. Mark chapter 1 verse 35. The Bible says, rising up a great while before day, Jesus will go to a quiet place. And the Bible said, there he will pray. No wonder, sir. When Jesus was praying in that place of prayer, the Bible makes me to understand that what he was with his disciples. Please help me touch your neighbor and say to your neighbor, learn to leave the disciples. He was with the disciples, sir. And the Bible says, early in the morning, before the disciples will wake up, those who are ahead in prayer are always ahead in ministry. May that enter into you. He will rise up a great while and go to a quiet place and begin to pray. Begin to pray. Wait a minute. What is God in the flesh looking for? Looking for from God? What is he looking for? I thought God in the flesh does not need anything from God who is above. But he will stay in the place of prayer. Seek the face of his God. Solve the problems he will meet before he ever gets to encounter them. Secure wisdom for the troubles he was yet to meet. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Ask for direction on how to solve the problems of life. When they brought in the woman in adultery and they said, Master, they said in the law, this is what you should do. Where do you think he received from? Where did you think he got that idea from? To keep his mouth shut, don't say a word, and just squat, put his face on the ground, and just be writing on the ground. Rise up. Where did you think he got that word from? He that is without a sin among you should first of all cast a stone. Where did he receive that inspiration from? He had settled issues in the place of prayer. Am I talking to somebody? You fail in the day because you fail normally in the morning. Check it up. Normally when you fail in the morning in the place of prayer, it will reflect in the day. Look, I know you're trying to be straight. How many of you understand what I'm saying? How many of you say, I agree? I was sharing with some of them here. I said, pray that ye enter not into what, sir? Say it again. Pray that ye enter not into what? So if you have been, some of you are not only entering, you are okay, swimming. Somebody say drowning. Help! I'm drowning. If the Bible says, pray that ye enter not, how comes you think that by meditating you will not enter? I'm taking you back to Bible-based prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying here?
Pastor, I don't know why I'm always falling into this temptation. You are not, see, the reason why you are falling into that is because you are falling in the place of prayer.
Falling in the place of prayer. You cannot experience the full manifestation of the dreams that God has given to you until you go to the place of prayer. Let me say this. This is where now maybe Bible-based prayer will meet with the African context. I know there are witches and wizards in Africa that don't let people's dreams come to pass. Am I correct? But don't forget, also in the days of Jesus, there were witches and wizards also. Is that all right? And witches and wizards are witches and wizards anywhere you find them. It's just the colors that are different. Are you getting what I'm saying here? If Jesus' ministry came to pass and that of Paul came to pass, how did they bring their ministries to come to pass? The secret is very simple. Prayer. If they pray through their dreams, you must learn to pray through your dreams. For them to experience, in Acts of the Apostles that we just read here, for them to experience divine power, in Acts chapter 2, we noted that they had to first of all experience the outpouring of the Holy Ghost power. And don't forget, like I said before, the Holy Ghost power could not be released upon them until first of all they had prayed. So if I say that you cannot have Pentecost without prayer first, I'm also saying that you cannot have power without prayer. It bothers me, sir. If I ask that, but we're going to do it in this church. Pastor, let's say we just want everybody here, sir, I'm not asking you to stand up. If I say everybody stand up now, and I say for the next 1 hour we shall be praying. Pastor, it will not be more than 15 minutes. You will see people lying down on the floor. A man of God that Pastor Isaiah knows so very well. You know, anytime we are gathered together, I don't like telling this story. Anytime we're gathered together, you know, because some of us, he sees us very busy in the day, he does not know what happens in the night. Huh? Okay. So, you know, whenever, you know, in the afternoon, this pastor will just be, you know, he'll be intimidating us. You know, he makes us believe that he's a man of what? He's a man of prayer. And I know how to take care of those kind of matters. So I say, sir, I want us all to go for prayer retreat in Lagos. So we got to Lagos. And we entered the building. A duplex. Chief Lai Balogun's, late Chief Lai Balogun, of blessed memory. We entered this building. And we said, we're going to pray. Pastor Celestine was there. So, and some other few pastors were there. And you know, he was grossly mistaken because he see me speaking the word. He see me, I'm a word person. So he doesn't understand the other side of me. So we entered the place. We just started. I said, we're going to come in here 7:30 in the morning. We're going to start praying. And I said, we're not going to leave you until the Holy Ghost releases us. So 7 o'clock, 7:30 we started. Raising the Lord, oh, started praying. Just kept on praying. 9 o'clock, I noticed my pastor went and leaned by the staircase. You know, praying by the staircase. I said, you never reached there yet. So I kept on changing the prayer point. We kept on going. You know, eagles, when they are flying into the higher altitude, you better go back. Because they go to a place where ordinary birds can't survive. Because eagles learn how to breathe at higher altitude where ordinary birds cannot survive, because the kind of air there is not something for ordinary birds. So I said, keep on coming, sir. By the time it was going to be 11 o'clock, sir, my pastor, the next thing I noticed was that he knelt down on his knees, and they will open his eyes. Pastor said, where would the Holy Ghost stop this something? Where would the Holy Ghost skip it? Oh, Father, yes, on the floor. I said, no problem. You are making progress, sir. You started from your feet on your stomach now. It's all right. We're making progress. Man of God, by the time I was going to 12:30, 1 o'clock, I turned around. He had gone. He had slept off. Yeah, saliva had already poured on the bare floor. That's a prophet of God. You understand that? So you know what one of us did? One of us went and touched him a little bit. He started sobering. And I've seen some of us like that. Prayer meeting. The worst one I've ever seen was in a prayer meeting. A man said he was praying. And his eyes were open and he slept. It's a mystery I can't still understand. prayerless generation. But you will begin to pray. See, let your joy be that you can spend an hour with God. Kai, do you know what it will look like to look at your children and say, sorry, please, I know you've not seen me for 1 hour. I've been talking to God. It is greater than any degree you can have from any university that you have the capacity to keep God, to have an audience with God on a regular basis for a minimum of 1 hour. Let him that thinketh he knows anything, let it be that you know God. Oh God. Where are the days when mothers will say, whose child did you say is sick? My child? Come here, my son. Bring the boy to me. Put him on our laps. As a father, my breast fed him. My child cannot be sick. Only a woman who knows her God can pray like that. My mother, when God bless my younger sister who is now married and settled in her husband's house, it wasn't always like that. For about 10 years, 10, Pastor, my sister was considered lost. Lost. Chose to go alive, want to enjoy herself. She laughed at me. She called me born again, brother Sam. That's what my sister called me. Carried my Bible. This is my sister that is in this house now. I wish a pastor has the opportunity of calling such people forward and punish them. Or if I have the capacity to have a vision to punish her, I'll say the Lord said you should fast for 40 days because your life depends on it. And I'll go back to God and say, God, that's punishment for everything she has done to me. My sister left the house for about 10 solid years. People said, my mother, pursue your daughter, fight for your daughter. My mother said, no. My mother said, I know how his brother came to serve God. She will end up serving God too. Are you not worried? Your daughter is going to say, don't worry. My mother will pray. That woman deserves a lot to cry. This woman, I'm telling you. Kai, if I never learn anything in this world from my mom, there's one thing I will never forget: her prayer life. My mother has this unusual confidence in God. Unusual. She just believes it go happen. And I'm like, your daughter is gone, no? Say she will come back. Say, except if I begged her from a devil. She is activating the covenant that birthed the girl. She said, except if I went to the devil and begged her. How my sister gave her life to Christ, honestly, I don't know. I just noticed one day, somehow, it was later I got to even know that it was my wife's connection was involved. And then my wife was not even going to become my wife. Thank God she had started putting my family in order before she came into my family. Your growth depends on your prayer. How far you will go in life depends on how much time you can kneel down, how much time you can spend in the place of prayer. The future of your children depends on your prayer life. Nothing excites the devil like active prayerless Christians. You didn't hear what I just said? Nothing makes the devil excited like Christians who are activity full, but they are prayerless. In the words of Samuel Chadwick, he said the one concern of the devil, I quote, is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing but prayerless studies. Hello? Samuel Chadwick said, the devil does not fear anything. He does not fear your prayerless studies, your prayerless works, your prayerless religion. He laughs when you toil. Are you hearing this? Samuel Chadwick said, when you are toiling, the devil is laughing. He mocks when you are displaying your academic wisdom. He mocks when you are showing your ability to plan. But he trembles when you begin to pray. How many of you will agree with me, like me, that in terms of planning, Pastor Sam, I have superior plan? How many of you will say, I have plans, but as I said, they have not come to pass? How many of you have planned, but the plans are coming to pass, but they have not yet come to pass? Raise your hand. Free. Be sincere before God. Raise your hands. He laughs when you sit down and you are strategic planning. I like Pastor John. You know, Pastor John into strategic planning, you know, strategic inclination of the angulation of the direction. You know, kind of, this is a fantastic. But if they are not backed with prayer, they are going to be like spineless worms. He laughs when you study without praying. But he trembles when you pray. No one and nothing threatens the devil like a prayerful Christian. No one and nothing threatens the devil like a prayerful Christian. He does not respect your education. Your position in society does not matter to the devil. The devil flogs DGs. Flogs them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Permanent secretaries, the devil is permanently seated in their home, messing their lives up, on a permanent basis. Are you hearing what I'm saying, sir? Pastor, you carry reverend, if you like, put collar on your neck. You're only making things tighter for yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The devil does not respect your position. I am the father of this house. So what? The devil has turned fathers to become children. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I am a VC. The devil can turn a VC to become a drunk. In the devil's palace, titles don't matter. The only people he knows and respect are people that he decided to speak about. He said, Paul, I know. Peter, I know. Jesus, I know. But you, who are you? They said, we are the seven sons of Sceva. Our father is a high priest in this city. He said, the more reason why you receive several beatings. That you have a father that is a pastor and you don't know God. Bible says, one man. I don't know how it happens. My sister, you imagine one man having seven men. And he got and was holding all of, I don't know how he does it, was holding seven of them and was flogging them, and all of them could not run. That's what I call superior beating. Sorry, I mean, if seven of us are gathered and a man decide to, at least by the time, if myself, Pastor Isaiah, Pastor John, Pastor Show are gathered here, and a boy or a young man slaps Pastor Isaiah, you don't see, look. You don't need any special prayer or a prophet to tell the rest of us to locate your personal or eternal square root. Are you getting what I'm saying? Pastor, stand up. Pastor, just stand up. Pastor, just stand up. Elder Jacob, stand up, please. You imagine. Please, come. Please face the audience. Elder Jacob, you stay on the other side after Pastor Isaiah. You imagine that there are not seven. I'm only talking about four men here. You imagine that all of us, including me, standing at the, where am I supposed to stand? In between. Am I better than you? Okay. Fine. At least I should be better than somebody. Praise God. All right. Now, watch this. If you are in a meeting, you are friends, and this is the strongest of all, Elder Jacob. And then you now have a situation whereby, can you stand up, sir, Bro Kenneth? And Kenneth, first of all, now the Bible says he beat them, not only beat him, he didn't beat them. As he was beating this, I said, the rest of you, hold on, don't go anywhere. Then he tore the shirt, removed the tie, and turn everything to shred. Now you are naked, certified to run. You can start running like that. Now, if you are there and you see him mess up this man like that, maybe Kenneth, come close. If Kenneth does that, maybe it was by mistake. Then move on to number two. And he deals with and shreds Pastor Isaiah into naked state. Now, you honestly, your children should ask you what kind of intelligence you have to be seeing such tsunami coming in your head. That a tornado is coming your way and you are not rushing to the upper lands. Thank you, sirs. The Bible says one man begged nonsense out of all of them. Seven men. So the devil does not respect your position in society. Your education, I have 14 degrees, like thermometers. It does not matter to the devil. Hello, Satan. Satan, don't you know who I am? I've got a BSc in geology. What? Honestly, another amazing thing is that the devil does not respect your race. If you know how the devil is flogging white people, good God. Have you seen white people that the devil is flogging? Flog them to drink cocaine. Flog, as he's flogging them, they are drinking beer. Flog them. They go to sleep with prostitutes. Flog them. I mean, see how he messes them up. I saw some people in New York sitting during the rain. It was raining. It was cold. And they carry nylon, covered their body. I was in California and I saw something that broke my heart down. I thought they said it's a rich place. And then I saw poor people on the street. I was in Glide Memorial. We have 500 people. I joined in feeding 500 people in the morning. They are also fed in the afternoon in a church. They are also fed in the evening. Every day in a week. On Sunday, they call it Family Sunday, where all of us, as we are coming to church, will bring food from our house, and the hungry will come and join us. After service, we'll feed together. Is that not church? So the devil does not respect your race. He's beating black people. He's messing them up. Black people like nothing else. flogging black people. They are crying, he's still flogging them. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So your race does not matter. What the devil respects is your prayer life. Your relationship with God. Families have been humiliated today because of the absence of prayer. Marriages have been humiliated because of the absence of prayer. Careers have been humiliated because of the absence of prayer. As I begin to bring it to a close, I remember the words of Queen Mary of Scotland. I don't know if anybody remember Queen Mary of Scotland. Very wicked woman. Very wicked. She showed Christians lots of trouble. But there was one man. Listen to what Queen Mary said about a man called John Knox. Does anybody know John Knox? Has anybody here heard about Praying Hyde? Praying Hyde was the man that prayed until his heart, the position of his heart shifted. Prayer. And he was alive. Praying Hyde prayed until the heart shifted. One of them prayed in the place of prayer until the knees became callous like that of a camel because of the time he spent in the place of prayer. A man called Ernest Angley. I don't know if anybody knows Ernest Angley. Ernest Angley was very popular like Reinhard Bonnke in the 80s. Ernest Angley goes out on evangelism and God uses him tremendously in crusade. One day they captured him in Germany and they locked him up in a small cell. Normally it's a cell where normally when they put people, normally there are some of these torturing cells. Put somebody there within a few days, like 48 hours, he must die. Yeah? Torturing chambers. They put him there. And when they locked up Ernest Angley, Ernest Angley said, he lifted up his voice and he said, Father, he said, you told me from Germany I shall be going to another country to preach. He said, Lord, are the Germans superior to your instruction? Lord, will this be the end of my assignment? Or am I still going to where you said I'm going to? If I'm still going to where I'm going to, Lord, then you better sort me out here because in 48 hours I should be a dead man. Guess what happened? Literally, they said stones began to fall on that part of Germany. It was not rain. It was not during spring. It was during summer. Stones like hail began to fall on the city. And he kept on falling, breaking things, breaking their windscreen. And they were like, where is this coming from? One of them said, that man that you locked up is the reason why these things are happening. If you release him, these things will stop. So one of them said, what shall we lose? Let's try it. If we release him, we'll bring him out. If he does not stop, we shall send him in. As soon as Ernest Angley stepped out, the stone ceased. They that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do. Lord, take us back to real Christianity. What's the name of the man of God? Livingstone. Livingstone went to South Africa in the days when they were suffering from all manner of infections, diseases, and all of that. When he got there, G. Lake got to a village. And the water in that village was so bad. You could literally see the germs in the water. And G. Lake said, please, can you get me water? They said, sorry, sir, that the waters here are bad. They're infected. That's why our people are dying. G. Lake said, that's all right. Let me have it. He said, Father, you said we shall drink deadly things and they shall not hurt us. I am here to preach. There's no Ragolis water here, Lord. This is the only source of water in this community. I will not die of thirst where I came to preach. So you have to do something about this water. And people literally saw the germs die in his hands. Die. The germs literally died in his hands. And that's how that land was cured. They are ordinary men who prayed extraordinary prayers. You can pray. If you can talk, you can pray. Simple. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. Okay, let me put it better for you. Prayer is talking with God. Because the other one, Nigerians understand very well, talking to God. Heavenly Father, oh my God, Lord, I came. Father, I want to tell you, this story is very long, but Lord, as the trouble is going on, Father, then Lord, Father, before I go to that one, let me come back this way. Father God, there is this man in my village, Father God, there's this other case in my school too, Lord. Father, Lord, you know there are too many troubles in my life. What have you said? Huh? So prayer is talking with God. Talking with what, sir? Father, I thank you for thou hearest me always. But that these people may know that you are the true and the living God. I'm going to ask Lazarus to come out now, and I want you to ensure that that happens. Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said the dead man jumped out because the cave has been opened. The power of prayer. Hallelujah. My time is up. Your prayer life is the link that connects your present thirst to the pool of God's satisfaction. Your prayer life is the link that connects your present thirst to the pool of God's satisfaction. If you really want satisfaction, go to God in prayer. And the New Testament kind of prayer that Christians are expected to pray. Please, I think that's where I'll begin to close it up here now. Let me tell you the kind of prayer that Christians are expected to pray. May you never miss what I'm about to share with you. The God that we serve has already made a plan, designed a blueprint of what your life should look like on earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody say, my blueprint is with God. Say it again. Say, my blueprint, my life's blueprint is with God. Okay, now watch this carefully. So God has designed what your life should look like. There is a design. You were not born to just come here and live anyhow. There's a design. You are more than the way you live it. You are more than what you are achieving. There's a design to your life. I thought I was going to be a geologist. That's why I went to the university to read geology. That's why I went to Petroleum Training Institute, Warri, to go and do mineral resources engineering. Because I've always believed that I'm going to be in the oil industry. It was in the place of prayer. God said to me, he said, son, what are you doing? And God opened my eyes and showed me a part of his plan. Now watch this carefully. Why do we pray? And what is the New Testament prayer supposed to be? Jesus taught us. He said, thy will be done on earth. Kai. Niga du jabadea. Thy will be done on earth as it is where? As it is in heaven. Let me tell you what real prayer is all about, sir. Real prayer is when a man goes before God and begins to pray and say, Father, everything that my life looks like in heaven, let the earth begin to reflect it. You're not hearing what I'm saying. Oh, Shadi Gabadosi Yade. Father, everything you have designed concerning my life, the way I look, if many of you appear in heaven, you will not resemble what heaven knows you to be. See, let me tell you the truth. As I am right now, sir, I am still living below my privileges in God. That's why I pray. Father, thy will in heaven, let it be done concerning me. Where, sir? On earth. Let my life on earth begin to resemble heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying, sir? Let my marriage on earth begin to resemble the way it's been designed in heaven. Let the man that wants to come and marry me be the exact man that heaven. Oh God, the servant of Abraham was praying. And my sister, you know when he was praying, he said something. He said, Lord, I stand here by the wells of water, and the daughters of this city come. But among the daughters, there is one that is appointed. The word was used, appointed. There is one appointed for Isaac. As I sit here, I'm praying. That's what the Bible says. He began to pray. When you pray and pray concerning your marriage, you will, sister, if you are not married, you are privileged not to have been married now. Because thank God, at least you will not make the mistakes that others have made. Because everything that looks like it is not like it. Am I talking to somebody here? Father, that which has been settled for me in heaven, the man appointed in heaven, Lord, let him be the one that will show up on earth. Let me not put the ring of a wrong man in my hands. Are you hearing what I'm saying, sir? What my ministry looks like in heaven. Father, I thank you, everybody. Oh, Pastor Sam is wonderful. Oh, Pastor, Lord, I don't want to build according to the pattern of men. The Bible says Moses come to the mountain. I want to show you the pattern of the tabernacle. Listen, don't just build your life anyhow. Even the house you want to build, I know you have the money. I know you have the land. But the way your bedroom should be, don't leave it to an architect. Am I talking to somebody here? I have a pattern in heaven. So that when I come visiting your house, it will resemble what it looks like in heaven. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? Father, thy will be done on earth as it is worse in heaven. That is what New Testament prayer is. Now my ministry on earth, it may not be a popular ministry. People may not know the ministry. I'm not interested in popularity. I'm interested, oh God, I'm interested in building according to the pattern that has been revealed to me on the mount. Because no pattern, no adjustment and alignment to pattern, no glory. That will be done. Let my career on earth, Lord, let it resemble the way you have made it to be in the heavens. You know why, sir? There is something the Bible says, after Moses, Solomon had built according to the pattern that God showed his father. Because Solomon did not just come and say, listen, I have money, I can build. Solomon said, daddy, what is the blueprint for the tabernacle? And the father said to him, he said, listen, my son, there is a place where the cherubims must be. And he said, in that place where the cherubim, details, precisions. That's why God brings his glory. Don't build your life anyhow. Go to the innermost recesses of the Almighty God. Go and have some communion with God. Go and have some concourse with God. Go and have some intercourse with God. Go and have some fellowship with God. Your life is not supposed to be like this. If there is no glory in your life or over your life, it is because your life is not built according to pattern. The Bible says that when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord, God came to inspect the house. God looked at the door. Take it down. God came to look at the door. And God said, the door is where it should be. God said, let me go and inspect the cherubims where they should be. And God saw that the cherubims were where they should be. And God saw that the Ark of the Covenant that should be under the cherubims that overlooked the mercy seat. God saw that the Ark were under the mercy seat. I mean, the Ark was under the cherubims. They were not kept at the outer court. It's not about beauty, it's about pattern. Am I talking to somebody here? It's not about beauty. It's not about popularity contest. It's not about me trying to make my own better than your own. If it's not in the plan of God for my life, you will not find it in my life. You can dress the way you want to dress, but God has a specific pattern for me. Am I talking to somebody here? You can chew whatever you want to chew, but God, in his pattern for my life, has forbidden me from chewing some things. That is why all Israelites, they can drink wine, but if you're a priest, you cannot, because it's not part of the pattern. If you drink wine, you will be sent out of your priesthood. An average Israeli can marry a woman who is not a virgin, but a Jew must not marry, a priest must not marry a woman who is not a virgin. Are you getting what I'm saying? If he marries her out of sympathy, he is already marrying out of order, and there shall not be a blessing on his marriage. Come and talk to somebody, say pattern. Say it again, say pattern. That's what the New Testament prayer is all about. If you are struggling, ask yourself the question, does my life, the way I'm building my life, the way I'm pursuing my career, is it after the order of heaven? Am I building according to the pattern of heaven? Oh, somebody say, Pastor Sam, but I don't even know what the pattern is. That's why you have to pray. That's why you have to go to the place of prayer. God wants to show you what your life looks like. How can you be 25 years old and don't know what your life should look like? How can you be 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, and you've not yet received the pattern of your life from God? Building like you want. That's why there's no glory. Building the way you want it. That's why there's struggles. It's time to go back. Kneel down in the presence of the Most High God and say, Father, show me your plan. There must be a plan. There must be a plan concerning this life. There must be a plan. As I said, I was filling the form. And God said to me, he said, son, what are you planning to do? I said, I want to be a geologist. And God said, geologist. He said, you're trying to escape poverty. You want oil industry. You want to, so they can escape poverty. I said, Lord, you know that one. There's no argument about it. I hate poverty. I've been poor enough. So poor that poor people call you poor. You understand that? And that's enough, Lord. So I want to. And God said, I know. He said, but that is not in the plan. And I said, God, what do you mean? He said, go back. This was in Ibadan, sir. God, last semester in the university, God said, go back to your mother in Lagos. She will tell you what she has not told you. I took off and I went to Lagos. And I met my mom. I said, Mommy, I need to talk with you. She's here. I said, God has been troubling me on campus. I said, do you have something to tell me before the Son of Man commits a crime? And my mother looked at me. She said, son, there's something I've been waiting for the appointed time to tell you. She said, before you were born, I was in a prayer meeting looking up to God for a child. And a man of God pointed in the direction where I was. She said, there were so many women around her. So she was looking around to see who. He said, that woman. She was looking around to see the woman. He said, you that is turning. And he said, come to me now. And as my mother was here in Kaduna, sir, as my mother was walking up to him, he began to ask her the question, will you give him back to me? Will you train him and give him back to me? And my mother began to, she didn't even wait for any, she didn't think. My mother didn't bother to think about giving back to, that statement, our own is, if God is giving me a child, I don't care about what God wants to do. And she kept on saying, yes, yes. And he said, will you train him and give him back to me? And my mother kept on saying, yes. It was when she left the place, she now remembered what she had said. My mother did not know that she was pregnant, ma. My father's family were already set to send my mother out of the house. My mother was already on her way out of my father's house. My father had already begun to look at another woman. At that point, God said, this is the time. When the enemy's reproach comes so close to your door, that's when I will show up. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? That they are getting close is not an issue. Let them get close. Then there is a God who answered a prayer. He will show up on your behalf. And my mother just noticed, barely about 4 or 5 months, she didn't know, period kept on coming. It was barely 4 months. I was an invisible baby. God covered me from all of them. So it was several months later that my mother got to know she was pregnant. And I stayed a little bit longer inside the womb. You understand that? For special reasons. Came out and I suck a little bit longer also. Normal 10, no. I went a little bit 1 year, about 3 months or so. Something like that. So that I, because the journey for me was going to be long. At the age of 2, my father saw a Roman Catholic priest going to Italy, Rome, going back after his assignment in Nigeria, in Kaduna here. And my father said, since we said we're going to give him to God, let's quickly dash him to God. And my mother said, that the statement was to train him and then give him to God. So, Augusta, if all you hear is give him to God, there's a part of it you are not hearing. Train him. That because God said that his assignment will require education. So my mother said, now that you have gone to the university, she said, the greatest certificate you can ever bring to me is not the certificate of graduation from the university, but the certificate of ordination as a man of God. I said, you let me go through all of this? She said, yes, because the Lord said he wants to train you for the assignment. Pattern, pattern, pattern. Build that court. She was watching me as I was busy playing handball. My mother let me go play handball. She knows that I will get back to the main place. I was planning I would run to Italy, play in Italy, play in Budapest, and then run, go around with white girls and just vanish from the earth.
white girls.
Yeah, get some Jamaican girls.
And my mother was watching because she knows the plan. She understands the blueprint.
If you have the blueprint from heaven concerning your children, let them be going to disco party hall. You will not worry.
Because you know the insurance covers them.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
I think I've helped you enough here today.
Don't let this month pass by without you downloading the blueprint from heaven. See, if you must knock at the gate of heaven until God knows there's one troublesome child here on earth, knock at the gate. Your future depends on the revelation of his plan for your life. Don't keep wandering about, just jumping all over the place, doing business from Paris to England. That's not all that there is to life. Smiling because,
how are you? You know, I'm a little bit comfortable now, you know. Let's do the business about 200 million.
If you are successful outside the plan, you are a failure. If you succeed outside the plan, you are a successful failure. Because on the final day, you will not be judged according to your own success, but according to the blueprint. My son, you were designed to be helping little children. You were supposed to be a children's teacher, to be taking care of children. How comes you were a pastor in the adult church and you died pastoring the adult church? You never lived. Because one day you never stepped in the place of your son, because every time I be looking at those children church, you know, now here I did. I'm supposed to preach next week Sunday. Because, you know, I'm literally afraid, if not because I know the plan of God. Anytime these are our children, after service, they come and give, Papa, the way they greet me, and you know, Pastor, you know, thank you so very much. And the way these kids give me, I say, thank God, are you sure I'm not called to children's church? Because without preaching to them, if you know how they celebrate me. But you, after I preach, you're like, okay, Pastor has gauged today. That's okay. Today, Pastor has gauged. Pastor, right on, Pastor. You good guy, eh? You try, you know. Putting me under intense pressure. Huh? Come on, shake your neighbor and say to the person, get the plan. You can't believe. You cannot believe it like this, going around with your swag on. No plan. Your life on earth does not resemble heaven. Father, thy will be done on earth. Let everything that has been settled concerning me in heaven begin to find expression on the earth. The kind of children that have been assigned to me in heaven, let them be the ones I'm having on the earth. Any man, Father, that has not been assigned to me in the heaven, let him not come through my door. Let him not even call me on the phone. Not talk about proposing to me. Don't let him come. Lift your hands to the Lord. Bless him this morning. Bless him.